The month of February, the middle of the month of February. Wow, time is going by. We were just a week ago doing our little Valentine thing, giving away hearts and flowers and chocolates and such things to those that we love. And long before that, we had this sermon in mind. We call it Love Is. Now, love is a lot of things. We read Isaiah 53, and we'll be getting back to that. We could have went to the book of Ruth, because in the book of Ruth, you read a love story. And we could have went to the book of the Song of Solomon. That's another kind of love story there. And they're often used for sermons. But before we get into it, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we understand that you are love. God is love. And you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, so that we who believe in you would not perish, but we would have everlasting life. Everlasting, that's a long, long time. Eternal life. And in a world where life is so fleeting and comes to an abrupt end sometimes, we know that we have a destiny with death in our future. But some of us may not die. You may come in the clouds of glory and you may just take us straight into heaven like you did Enoch, because the time is short and your return is near. Father, we want to take a few moments now and exalt your name, lift it up before the people, and help us to understand what love is. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we could look at the book of Ruth, and there was a funny thing about that book of Ruth. I was wondering, why is it called Ruth? Why would it be called Ruth? It's a Jewish book, and Ruth is a Moabite. She's not a Jew. Shouldn't they call it the Book of Boaz or something like that? Just a passing thought. I mean, the Book of Esther was, after all, written after a Jewish lady. But Ruth is a good story that we could talk about, how our kinsman redeemer bought us from slavery, and those who were not even part of the house of Israel now are sons and daughters of God. It's a wonderful, wonderful story. And, you know, Ruth is an ancestor, a grandmother to David the king. And so she might have been alive when David was a little guy. Who knows? Ruth. Or she probably could have been long dead. Who knows? We look into the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And here's where we see a lot of where love is and what love is all about. If we turn there right now, it says, beginning with verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. And if we put God instead of the word love, here's what we could read. God suffers long and is kind. God does not envy. God does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Now, if anybody could be puffed up and parade himself, it could be God, but he doesn't. In fact, he made himself of no reputation and came and condescended and became a man just like you and I. He became a human being. What wonderful condescension. God does not behave rudely. He does not seek his own, and he is not provoked very easily. In fact, God really, really is patient with us. So glad that God is patient with me. I'm so glad that I'm not God and neither are you, because some of us have short fuses and could not suffer long like he does. But God does not think evil. He does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. God bears all things, believes all things, and hopes all things, and endures all things. God never fails. Now, it's supposed to say love, you know that, but God is love. We really are blessed to know what we know. We really are blessed to live in the country that we live in. But what do we lack? We read a lot of things in the lesson today about the last times, about some of the, in the last days, that people would be lovers of their own selves, and they would be full of pride and boastful and all these horrible things. We're living in the last days when people are absolutely without natural affection. In certain countries, human being and human life is not valued at all. In a country, some countries, they would strap bombs on their little children or on themselves and go in and set these bombs off to kill people. Human life is cheap. And a man drove an airplane into a building the other day because he was ticked off at somebody or something. No value to a human life. In the abortion clinics and the orphanages. At least the orphanages are a better solution than the abortion clinics, I'll tell you that. But the orphanages are full of unwanted little human beings. And the nursing homes are full of unwanted human beings. We don't know what to do, so we put them somewhere else. They're not wanted. Or we can't look after them. Or we're so absorbed with our own lives and our own gimmies and I wants that we don't think of our fellow man. But the Bible says that pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep yourself unspotted from the world. And we were talking about that in Sabbath school. There's a delicate balancing act between serving humanity, doing what you should to help mankind, humankind, to get involved in the lives and helping others, and yet keeping yourself unspotted from the world. That is pretty hard to do. We really need help from the Lord on a lot of this because evil is so prevalent and wickedness is so much. We are so surrounded by this wicked, wicked world and all this stuff around us. It's like, do we really understand where we are and what we're doing and the times that we are living, the end times? But God has given us a gift. We know what love is, but love is not just abject or an abstract idea. It is action. If you read Isaiah 53, and think about the word love, think about God, think about, you know, we think of love as something warm and fuzzy sometimes, but look at Isaiah 53. There's nothing warm and fuzzy about what's going on there. It's ugly. It's horrible. And it says here, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Where's the love? Certainly not on our part. We didn't want him. We want Barabbas. Caesar's our king. We did not want to be saved. Some of us did. But the world in general didn't want a savior. Back then, they are like today. I don't know. I don't want to know. Leave me alone. Let me do my own thing. You do your thing. I'll do my thing. And we'll all be happy that way. Ignorance and apathy are signs of the end time. People are ignorant and they want to stay that way. And they're apathetic. They don't want to know. They don't want to get involved. And so many times you see things happen and you see the people standing by watching these things happen and you wonder, why doesn't somebody do something? Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And people standing around the cross watching Jesus die said he could save others, but he can't save himself. Yes, he could. He could have saved himself. But he chose to die for the ungodly. And you know, he's for a righteous person, you might give your life. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. And who are the ungodly? Look in the mirror. I needed to be saved. I needed to have my sins washed away. I needed to be forgiven. Well, what have you done wrong, you might say? Or what have I done wrong? I've lived a pretty good life. I haven't committed any murders. I don't steal. I don't this and I don't that. That's not the point. You're sick. You have a disease. You have an incurable condition that is called sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. You need a cure for death. Death needs to be cured. We were not created to die. But by our own choice, we chose to know what good and evil was. We disobeyed God, and all this has come upon us. And we need to be delivered from it. But first you need to be made aware of the condition you're in. You know, some people have used the definition of a healthy person is a sick person who doesn't know that they're sick yet. A lot of people don't realize the peril they're in. And it is up to the church and us who are members of the church to warn the world of the impending coming of the Lord, and we should get ready and prepare ourselves, because the world is going to be destroyed by fire, and only those who are ready will be able to go into the marriage supper of the Lamb. We have good news and we got bad news. The love of God says that we should warn the people of their danger, of their plight, and let's get as many of them to hear the message of the gospel, the three angels' message, the soon coming of Christ, all the things that God has told us that we should do is an act of love. Love is preaching and living the gospel in front of a sin-sick world that needs to be delivered, and the only cure is what Jesus did on the cross. And unless we are ready for Him to come, we shall all perish. For except you repent, you shall all likewise perish, says the Scriptures. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But listen to this, He was wounded for our transgressions. Your sin and my sin, the inherited condition of sin, which is going to bring about the destruction of this world and of all wickedness and of the devil and all his angels, all evil, all sickness, all sin, all that kind of stuff is going to be done away with, and there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and unless you are ready, you're going to miss it. And I would not be a loving person if I did not warn you of the danger that you are in. If I saw you were going to back up into a ditch or into an abyss or off a cliff, if I did not warn you before you did that, that would be cruel of me. And if I did not show you that the sickness that you have has a cure and that there's a way out of the wilderness, that would not be love. Now, sometimes people don't want to hear what you got to say, but it's the truth anyway, and you better tell them before it's too late. He was bruised for our iniquities. What Jesus went through is the ultimate expression of love. No greater love hath any man that he would lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus said, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I have commanded you. Now, we were not sent on this mission all by ourselves. We did not get a boot and say, go. He said, I will go with you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age or to the end of the world. Jesus, although he went away to heaven in his fleshly body, came back to us in the person of the Holy Ghost, bringing the Father with him so that he could dwell in us. And we can have his power in us, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not of my own power. I cannot live this life on my own. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None of us is righteous, no, not one. Yet by the power of the living Christ dwelling in us by the Holy Spirit, we can overcome. We are not without resources. Our big brother is standing behind us to fight our battles. And he can beat up the devil, no matter what the devil has in store for you. Oh, we have to understand who our adversary is. He is no wimp. Respect your enemy, but know all about him. We have the Bible. The Bible gives us information on how to deal with Satan. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And when he comes around making his suggestions, quote the Scriptures to him. It is written. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. There is no peace until Christ comes and you and he make peace with one another. This is the peace that passes understanding. When you and God and your fellow man are in reconciliation, and it says, if you cannot forgive your brother whom you see, how can God forgive? How can, you know, he can't forgive you, someone that you can't see. You know, it's just not possible. We have to work in union and communion with the Holy Spirit. All we like sheep have gone astray. We, this is all. We have turned everyone to his own way. and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, was that fair? That wasn't fair. Why should somebody who is innocent pay for my sin? Why should somebody who's never done a sin in his life get beaten up for me? Kings and princes have a funny way of doing things. In fact, in bygone ages, when a prince was growing up, they were not allowed to be touched. So if they misbehaved, they had to go and bring a little boy, one of the peasants, in and take the beating for the prince. They called them whipping boys. But in this case, they took the king and made him the whipping boy for the paupers. That's a turnaround, isn't it? They took the king, they took the prince of glory, and they beat him to a pulp for the sins of the paupers, for the poor. By his stripes we are healed, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's not fair. How many times have you heard somebody say, that's not fair? Well, was it fair to Jesus? Yet he did it willingly. Wow, love is Jesus. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He said, if it is possible, Father, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done. And we are to pray the same prayer. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Whatever it is you, however it is, whatever, just do it to me, Lord. Allow it to be. Let your will be done, and allow me to be in synchronization or in harmony with your will. You pray that prayer and God will always answer that one. And oftentimes we get to feeling down and sorry for ourselves, and sometimes we'd sit alone and say, well, okay, Christians, here I am, I'm feeling miserable. Why doesn't somebody call me up? Where are my friends? Where are those people that supposedly are Christians? Here I'm suffering and nobody cares. Well, you poor thing. Just get up, get on the phone, call somebody worse off than yourself, cheer them up, and you'll feel much better. Because it is in giving that we receive. It is when we give what we have, we gain so much. When we love one another as he has loved us, when we are willing, and the Bible says this is about husbands and wives, it says, husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. Now, you know what Jesus did for the church? He died for it. So then a husband should be willing to die for his wife, to sacrifice his life for his wife. And the Bible says that we are to serve one another. No big I's and little U's. We are all precious in his sight. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living for the transgression of my, it says, that means for the transgression of God's people. He was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich in it had his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Now that's not fair. Again, that's not fair. And yet he bore it for us. It said, and yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, this is the prophet talking to God. He says, when you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days. He is giving to us through his death everlasting life. We are the beneficiaries of the brutal murder of Jesus Christ. And yet Jesus said, even though we were murdering him, even though we were torturing him, even though we were humiliating, he says, no man taketh my life from me, but of myself I lay it down, and by myself I take it up again. And he said to Pilate, you'd have no power over me except that I give it to you. Basically saying, I give you this power. You can do what you want because I'm letting you do it. And when they came to get him in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, who are you looking for? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I am. Boom, they all fell down. And they got up again. And he said, who are you looking for? Jesus of Nazareth. I am. And they fell down again. I believe they fell down twice, didn't they? And then finally, he said, let these go. Let these sheep go. And then he put himself into their power. He laid down his life and he took it up again. In fact, he had to give up his spirit to die. He was on the cross and he was beaten to a pulp and he had bled almost dry. And he said, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And the Bible says he gave up the spirit or the ghost. He gave. Love is giving. Love is unselfish. Love is kind. Love is all these things. God is love. Jesus is love. And he shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many. You are justified. You are sanctified. You are made whole. You are healed. You are going to be glorified someday. Because he poured out his soul unto death. Now that is love. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great, unmerited, undeserved outpouring of love. Taking your own Son, allowing him to come and become as we are, human, mortal, subjected himself to death, allowed himself to be put to death so that we could have eternal life. What love, what condescension. We thank you, Lord, and we pray that today, if there's anyone in this congregation who has not made a total commitment to follow you, that today would be the day when their heart and their life would be turned over to you. Pull at their heartstrings, Lord. Speak to them by your Spirit. Work on them with the word that you've planted in their heart and bring it into fruition. For one plants, another waters, but God gives the increase. All these things we ask and believe and pray. In Jesus' name, amen.